AveMariaRadio.net.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world, produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
And it's a Friday, May 17th, 2013. Good to be with you. Moving into another spring weekend. Thanks be to God. And a big one, of course, Pentecost. We'll be talking about that later in our program with our friend, Brother John Yep, who is studying for the priesthood in Rome and is very involved in Pentecost weekend in the Vatican, actually, because of the ecclesial movements that are gathering in Rome this weekend. And he is part of one of those movements, and we'll talk about that with him coming up. That's later on in the program. It is really exciting for me to be able to share with you in the national hour of my program an interview that I did with His Eminence Timothy Cardinal Dolan. Now, I had mentioned this before, but then things started to change earlier this week. We were supposed to air it on Tuesday, but then, of course, we were covering the verdict of the Kermit Gosnell trial. So we literally just threw out our rundown for that day, and Andrew and I worked on getting the latest information on the developments in that horrendous case regarding one of the most egregious abortionists. I know that sounds kind of strange, because everyone who does an abortion, well, you certainly have to pray for them, but this case was one of the worst that we've seen. So anyway, bottom line is we had to postpone the airing of this wonderful interview with the Cardinal. I really enjoyed sitting down and chatting with him. I've interviewed him before. Last time I interviewed him was at the March for Life, right after the HHS mandate was issued. So that was very interesting to talk with him then, because, boy, was he fired up. And he was still fired up when we met in Lourdes, and he was all fired up about Our Lady and the wonderful work of the Order of Malta. And he serves as one of the actual chief chaplain, so to speak, for the American Association of the Order of Malta. My husband and I were there for that trip, as you may recall. My husband is a knight in the Order of Malta and served as one of the many charioteers, the men who work hard every single day to bring the sick, to wheel them over to the grotto for mass or the baths, to basically partake in washing themselves in the waters of Lourdes, which is what Our Lady talked about, and also to bring them to the different events, the Eucharistic processions, adoration, the mass. What touched me so much about the Knights and Dames of Malta is the fact that so many of them have repeated this trip time and time again. And it is all about the malades, which is the French word for sick. So it's all about caring for the sick. It's not about yourself when you go on this trip, but in essence, what happens is you are helping yourself because of what it does for you spiritually. So I was so impressed with the Knights and Dames and really appreciated the help I received from the organization. Peter, the wonderful public relations person that I dealt with, and many of the folks who helped me coordinate the interviews that I did. So Timothy Cardinal Dolan will be up first. Then we're going to chat with Father Joe Johnson, who's from the Archdiocese of Minneapolis. He is a parish priest there, but he also is a chaplain for Malta from Minneapolis. He gave a beautiful reflection on our first full day, all about suffering and how Our Lady is such a witness for us in that. So we'll talk with him about this whole concept of redemptive suffering. The month of May, Mary from Lourdes, beautiful thoughts from Father Joe Johnson. As I mentioned, Brother John Yep, and then, of course, Dan Burke on a Friday with our spiritual direction connection. Plus you. Good to be with you right now, though, at almost 4 minutes past the hour on a Friday morning. Oh, I wanted to say congratulations to the Palmer family. Dave Palmer is a new daddy. He had just had a baby boy on Monday, of course. And Patrick Oliver Palmer, born Monday. And this is baby number 3 for the Palmer clan. And it was Monday. I was so busy, as I told Dave online, with all the developments in the Gosnell trial, I didn't see the pictures. But he's adorable. He's a beautiful baby. So congratulations, and God bless the Palmer family. Dave, of course, is station manager for our Guadalupe Radio sister station in Dallas, Texas. So congratulations to the Palmers in Texas. Right now, again, it is time to look at our news. It's a Friday morning, May 17, 2013. Let's see what's happening in and around our world. Cleanup efforts continuing today after a series of severe tornadoes ripping through north of Texas Wednesday night. Granbury Mayor Pro Tem Nin Hewlett listing the damage in his town.
17 regular homes,
19 mobile homes that were destroyed. And when I say destroyed, there was nothing there but a pad. Mm-hmm. And then we had numerous other. We had a total of 97 homes out of 110 that suffered severe damage.
National Weather Service rating the tornado that swept through Grand Prairie as an E4, one shy of the most severe E5 categorization. Winds reaching up to an estimated 200 miles per hour. Many of the homes destroyed had been built by Habitat for Humanity. Six people were killed, dozens of others hurt. Hood County Sheriff Roger Deeds in Texas asking for more help to search for the seven people still unaccounted for after that terrifying tornado outbreak in their area.
We're not done until we get those piles shifted and moved and make sure we don't have anybody or any pets or anything under those piles.
Officials say it is possible the missing just have not checked in with authorities yet. In other news this morning, more than 100 members of Congress have come together to introduce legislation that would ban taxpayer funding of abortion without requiring such a ban to be reapproved every year. The bill introduced yesterday in both the House and the Senate with a total of more than 115 bipartisan co-sponsors. That legislation would establish a comprehensive prohibition on taxpayer funding of abortion in all federal programs. Currently, public funding of abortion is blocked through a series of riders or separate provisions that must be approved or reapproved by Congress every year. Rallies planned in dozens of cities across the U.S. today to oppose that resolution that would allow gays in the Boy Scouts of America. The National Boy Scouts organization considering removing the current restrictions on sexual orientation. Some 1,400 members will vote on that proposal next week. Some parents say the rallies are intended to show voting delegates how families feel about the measure. Organizations encouraging followers to contact their congressmen and encourage them to support a bill protecting the conscious rights for nonprofits and faith-based institutions. Lawmakers have introduced a Healthcare Conscious Rights Act. The measure would provide full exemption on religious or moral grounds from the Obama administration's birth control mandate. A public policy law group is speaking out about what is described as blatant bias by the IRS. The Thomas More Society says the cases they have handled support growing accusations that demonstrates the agency's abuse of pro-life groups. The group pointing to a case where the IRS withheld approval for tax-exempt status for Coalition for Life of Iowa. The Society says in a statement an IRS agent asked for a letter with the entire board's signatures stating that under perjury of the law, they do not picket, protest, or organize groups to picket or protest outside of Planned Parenthood. And GOP House Speaker John Boehner says Americans should never be targeted or harassed by the government for their political beliefs.
Our system requires the bonds of trust between the American people and their government. And those bonds, once broken, are very hard to repair.
In a Capitol News briefing, Boehner again ripping the scandal over IRS targeting of conservative groups or audits. He cited, in quote, arrogance of power. President Obama forced the resignation of acting IRS Commissioner Steve Miller and has vowed to implement sweeping changes at the IRS. But Miller was set to step down in about a month anyway, according to other members of Congress. Now, Boehner said House committees will get to the truth in the IRS scandal and the ongoing controversy over Benghazi as well. Four Americans were killed in last year's terrorist bombing at the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, including the ambassador, Chris Stevens. Officials say Boston Marathon bombing suspect Yohar Tsarnaev wrote messages inside the hull of the water tugboat in which he was hiding. They allegedly indicated the attack was retribution for what he called U.S. attacks against Muslims in Afghanistan and Iraq. Liz Norden's two sons were critically hurt in the marathon incident.
Everybody that got hurt, they're all human beings, and, you know, it's just a cowardly, senseless act.
Tsarnaev due in federal court in Boston May 30th. FBI Director Robert Mueller says there has been no pause, meanwhile, in that ongoing investigation of the Boston Marathon bombings.
As you know, one of the bombers is dead. A second suspect has been charged, and we continue in our ongoing efforts to identify any others who may be responsible.
In a Senate hearing, he's also warning about homegrown violent extremists, saying they're very difficult to track. The FBI has been criticized for not following more aggressively on earlier warnings about the older suspect. And finally, in our news segment this morning, the response to the fund created to help the three once-missing Cleveland women has been overwhelming so far. Angelo's Pizza in Lakewood, Ohio, raising $35,000 through pizza sales yesterday to support the Cleveland Courage Fund.
Amanda Berry, her first thing she wanted when she got was released was Angelo's Pizza. So I was just moved by that.
That's Angelo's owner, Tom Kess, says his employees chipped in as well, working 12-hour shifts only on tips. The Cleveland Foundation says nearly $500,000 had been raised in the week since the Cleveland Courage Fund was created. Donations have come in from around the world in support of Amanda Berry, Gina DeJesus, and Michelle Knight. When we come back, more Catholic Connection. It's a Friday morning, May 17th, 2013. Good to be with you on a Friday and every day. We'll be right back.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Now at the Ave Maria online store, Catholicism, an adult study program on DVD. This 10-hour, 5-DVD set is created and led by prominent theologian and sought-after speaker Father Robert Barron. Catholicism is filmed on location in high def with comprehensive catechesis appropriate for RCIA and other adult formation programs. And at the Ave Maria online store, it's 30% off the regular retail price. The biggest discount on Catholicism is only at AveMariaRadio.net.
This program is brought to you in part by the generous support of Ciena Communications. Ciena introduces a plan to give you a mobile phone with no contract required. There are no hidden fees, and with Ciena, using your mobile phone helps the culture of life in America with no additional cost or effort from you. Everyday mobile phone living becomes effortless giving. More information can be found at ProLifeCatholic.com. That's ProLifeCatholic.com. Charity begins at phone.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Light of the East on Ave Maria, it's the colors red and green, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and also upon us and the whole church.
Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 7 on 990 WDEO.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a Friday. Good to be with you, and so excited to finally bring you this interview that I did of His Eminence, with His Eminence, I should say, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, of course, from the Archdiocese of New York. He was with us in Lourdes for the Order of Malta pilgrimage, and in particular with the American Association, where he serves as the principal chaplain. And it was just delightful to speak with him. He is so energetic, so humble, so funny, and just so engaging. When we were walking from the Basilica over to the area to do the interview, he was stopped by literally dozens of people and spent a little bit of time with each person, blessing them, taking photos, just so, so gracious and generous. And we sat down and we talked about the role of Mary in our lives as Catholics, in his life as a leader in the Catholic Church, and also what Mary says to us right now about the troubled times that we are in and how we are to pray and ask for her intercession. Here is Cardinal Timothy Dolan while we were in Lourdes with the Order of Malta American Association. Let's talk a little bit about your devotion to Mary and what this place does for you.
Well, it sure enhances and strengthens it, doesn't it? Because you're with thousands of other people who share it. But she's been with the church in the beginning, right? Next, my God, she was there on Christmas. In a way, that's when salvation took flesh. That's when the church really started, in a way. And she was there. Couldn't happen without her, right? She's the one that provided the Son of God, the eternal Word, with a human nature. I'm preparing to give the commencement address at Notre Dame University, and it's going to be on Pentecost Sunday. And there she is again on Pentecost, right? She was there at the birth of Jesus. She had him for 30 years. She was there at his first miracle. She was there at the foot of the cross. And she was there at Easter. She was there at Pentecost. And she's still with the church, right? And, oh, my Lord, what a gift she is. And here you see how easy it is to get to Jesus through and with her. We don't need, in a way, I mean, Jesus is ours. He's the Word incarnate. He who sees me sees the Father, as Jesus said. But I don't know about you, but I need all the help that
exactly.
I can get.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a temptation to let Jesus become sort of like just an idea, mm-hmm. just a notion, just a phantom. That's what the apostles were tempted to do after the resurrection. Remember, mm-hmm. He said, "Oh, look, here's my wounds." Or he'd say to them, "Let's have a meal together," just to prove that it was really he. That he wasn't some ghost, he wasn't some imagination, he wasn't some phantom, right?
Right.
He was a real person. Well, we need all the help we can get in keeping the incarnation alive, that Jesus Christ is really a true God and true man, and Mary does that. We can't reduce, when we're tempted to reduce God and God's Son to an idea, which is a big temptation, by the way. When we're tempted to reduce the Son of God to an idea, to a nice idea, to a nice story, we think of Mary. Because ideas don't have mothers, do they? Mm-hmm. Stories don't have mothers. Our God does. And that's why she's so important to us, right?
Yeah.
She protects the incarnation. She protects the divinity of Jesus. So,
how is it for you to be with Malta? I mean, I know you've been to Malta.
Oh, that's great, too. Because, see, I see the knights and dames of Malta all the time.
Okay.
I mean, I see him in doctor's offices. I see him in attorney's parlors. You see him in courtrooms. You see him in on Wall Street. You see him on Madison Avenue. Being in New York, I see him all over the place in positions
special.
Of prestige.
Yeah.
But to see them here, and really, they're batting two out of three here, because you know the three aims of the Knights and Dames of Malta:
yes.
Personal sanctification, service to the sick, and defense of the faith.
Right.
They're doing two out of three here in their own personal sanctification, because no one can come to Lourdes without an increase of grace. And number two, they so tenderly serve their masters, the sick. So it was to be with them and to see them here in raw service.
Yeah.
You know, to see them here giving people a drink of water, mm-hmm. to see them here with the Kleenex, washing, you know, helping
pulling them malads,
covering them up, to see them with Kleenex when people they might have would even be drooling. I mean, there's nothing too earthy for them when it comes to love and care for the sick. And boy, that's when they're closest to Jesus. That's when we're sanctified, right?
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of, I was thinking a lot about your homily today, because you talked about Mary being a cave for us. And the analogy
her mantle.
Really, her mantle, that was really beautiful, because if you think about how she does protect us, and she's been a big intercessor in my life as well, but what do you see her role now with the attacks? And you've been so outspoken about the attacks on the church, not only in the United States, but around the world. How do you see her helping us in this battle? Because here we are in southern France, and yet we know what just happened in Paris with gay marriage, even though so many believers came, and non-believers, atheists, people from all walks of life, mm-hmm. stood up for traditional marriage. How can she help us in this area? And, you know, in the United States, we just heard about Plan B now, over the counter for 15-year-olds. You know, Cardinal, Your Eminence, it seems like we're in crazy land sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, actually, the church in France is an inspiration, right? And the French people. We often dismiss them as being pagan and materialism, and as the bishops will say, well, Lord knows we got enough of those. But did we not see them rise
yeah.
up?
Yeah.
Huge,
yeah. Huge
numbers of people, as
yeah.
you said,
right.
committed Catholics, non-Catholics, people of no faith at all. They rose up and said, no. And this just isn't because we're people of faith. This is because we're thinking, reflective human beings who
right.
know that this is against what's so easily observable and detectable in human nature. So they were an inspiration to us. It bothers me at home that we haven't seemed to have been able to rally the support. And that almost overnight, the innate common sense of people that this is wrong, this flies in the place of natural law, has seems to have capitulated. So what's Our Lady do? Well, she keeps calling us back to
right.
Jesus. We got to remember, she was there at the foot of the cross. With all her power, she wasn't able to stop the cross, the passion and cross. Heck, with all his power, Jesus wasn't able to. He could have, but he didn't stop his passion. Remember at the agony in the garden? He said, I don't need swords. I could call 10,000 angels to protect me if I wanted. So I think Our Lady is with us even when we're on the cross. That's when she's especially with us. Very interesting. What's one of the earliest images that we see as far as murals in the catacombs,
mm-hmm.
where the early Christians were there to pray and to bury their dead in the times of intense persecution, some of the earliest images we see is of Mary.
Right.
And so she's always there when the church is in the catacombs. And in some ways we are now, aren't we?
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
We're on the run. You heard the gospel today.
Yeah,
Jesus
absolutely.
Said, hey, the world will hate you. Don't be surprised. They hated me. If you said what the world wanted them to say, they'd like
they
all
you. Love us. Right.
So in a way, Mary smiles and says, hey, we've been through it all before.
Yeah. Thank you, Your Eminence.
This is almost as bad as running out of wine at Chena.
Of course, once again, that was Cardinal Timothy Dolan from New York when we were in Lourdes for the Order of Malta Pilgrimage. Also with us with another wonderful chaplain. He is from the Minneapolis area, Father Joseph Johnson. I pulled him aside to chat with him about this issue of suffering. You heard the good cardinal talking about the spiritual suffering, the spiritual warfare that we're up against in our world right now, and how Our Lady is such an intercessor for us and a fighter for us as well. Father Joseph took that sort of an approach, but also discuss with us spiritual suffering as well as physical suffering and how we can take that suffering and really make it a Romans 8:28 situation. Here is Father Joe Johnson from Minneapolis. So your thoughts as we are about to head home.
It's been a wonderful week in Lourdes. I've been here a couple of times before, but this was the first time with the Order of Malta, and it's a different experience to see it through the eyes of the sick.
How so?
To accompany people that are coming here not just in a generic way to pray to Our Lady, but really seeking healing, whether that be a physical healing or a spiritual or emotional healing.
There were three things that you talked about, the way God answers our prayers, that He says three things to us. And you were talking about this at our first day when we had the day of reflection, which was morning of reflection, which was beautiful. But it was interesting how you explained God answers us. Could you share that with our listeners?
Sure. I think that God only gives three answers to our prayers. He says yes, He says later, not yet, or He says something better.
So why do we always get so disappointed when we think it's no, when it actually could be something better? Probably, most likely would be something better, because it's God's plan for us.
Right. Well, I think pride rears its ugly head there, and so my way and my timetable always have to be what control me instead of trust. And that's, of course, what Our Lady shows us with her fiat. It's, you know, that complete surrender and trust. And it's a trust that's scary, of course, to let go of control of my life. Of course, any of us that are realistic, and especially when we get sick, you realize I'm not in control anyway. So why am I trying to hold on to the pretense of being in control? Why don't I have the peace of surrendering instead? Because I'm surrendering into the arms of love. So if I have confidence in God's merciful love for me, then I can trust. If I don't believe that God loves me, then losing that control is very frightening.
What else does Our Lady teach us about letting go and understanding that with suffering there is redemptive suffering, as we have in the Catholic Church? Why is that such a hard concept for us to understand?
Well, I think suffering is something obviously that we don't like, and I don't think we should like it. It was not part of God's original plan. So we have to realize that it's natural for us to be averse to suffering. There's a beautiful harmony in creation that was disrupted by original sin and every sin that's been added to the world since then. And so that's where suffering comes from. And that's why Christ could even weep at the suffering around him, because it wasn't meant to be that way. But it's what Christ does with suffering that's the amazing thing. And we all suffer. Atheists suffer. You know, so it's not like, okay, I'm going to be a Christian, so I have to take up my cross and follow Christ. But everyone has crosses. You know, everyone is going to suffer. And so it is, what do I do with it that makes me different? And Christ has said that suffering doesn't have to be meaningless. Suffering doesn't just have to be this empty, pointless, weight upon our shoulders, but instead that God never lets evil have the last word, and that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And so that all through the things that happen around us that cause all of the suffering in the world, Christ's grace can even come in a greater fullness to that. And so through my suffering, I can let myself become bitter and angry and depressed, or I can let it transform me by God's grace, and I can become more trusting, I can become more gentle, more compassionate towards others, because I know what it feels like to suffer, so I don't ever want to add to suffering of others. And I know what it feels like when someone helps me in my suffering, so I'd like to be that way for others in their suffering.
What impressed you the most about the Knights and Dames when you saw them working so hard this week? What do you leave? This is your first time coming here with Malta. What did they leave you with in terms of the way they took care, such beautiful care of the Malads? I mean, what's in your mind, what's in your heart as you go back home?
Well, I think a couple of things. I think first, it's wonderful to see people who in their ordinary lives are just like anyone else, but really have have heard a call to this particular spirituality of Blessed Gerard, who founded the order 900 years ago, to come out of their way, out of their comfort zones in many cases, and take care of the sick, and to work in this very hands-on approach to it, and then maybe they go back to whatever other profession they had and the like, but they're not afraid to roll up their sleeves and do this now. I think the second thing that it strikes me is the 900 years itself. This is part of a great tradition of Christian charity that goes back centuries, and that we are another link in that chain that has produced so many saints over the centuries, and to continue that beautiful witness of the gospel being lived. And I think the third thing is really the Catholicity, that members of the Order of Malta come from all over the world, and we're here together as one big family. Yeah. And that is a microcosm of the universal church. The word Catholic means, you know, universal, so drawn from all over. So it's beautiful to see the church reflected in that particular way in the international character of the Order of Malta.
Appreciate so much the opportunity to talk to two amazing men of God, Father Joseph Johnson from Minneapolis, Holy Family Parish, and of course, His Eminence Timothy Cardinal Dolan from New York. Up next, we go to Rome to speak with a young seminarian all about Pentecost weekend and the ecclesial movements in the church.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Even a little can do a lot when it's a donation administered wisely by Cross Catholic Outreach. This year, we are celebrating the installation of Pope Francis, and Ave Maria wants to do even more to champion the poor and address their serious needs. We want to stand with our Holy Father, working with Cross Catholic Outreach to help the hungry, the homeless, the orphan, and the destitute. Together, we can achieve these important goals. From $10 to $100, every gift will make a difference. Add your support by calling 888-766-2426. That's 888-766-2426.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
This program is brought to you in part by CatholicMatch.com. Marriage and family life is the foundation of society. Catholic Match is doing its part to help build the culture of marriage by providing an online community that acts as a companion for singles as they grow in their faith while discerning God's will. CatholicMatch.com, faith-focused dating for today's single Catholics. More information available at CatholicMatch.com/Ave Maria. Making headlines on our own EWTNnews.com website yesterday, church movements bringing 50,000 more than Vatican expected. The attendance response to a Pentecost weekend event for church movements has exceeded the Vatican's expectation by 50,000 people. Over 120,000 people have signaled their attendance around 150 different ecclesial realities coming from around the world and are registered, attesting to the fact that the church's Catholicity knows no boundaries. That's a direct quote that was posted on the story yesterday on our website, EWTNnews.com, from Archbishop Rino Fisichella, who heads up the Pontifical Council for Promoting New Evangelization. And he said, going into this weekend, the year of faith is going to be better than what I thought, because the response has been great so far. The Vatican organizing the May 18th through 19th weekend for church movements to gather in Rome as part of the Year in Faith, an initiative aimed at evangelizing and helping Catholics become more fervent in their faith. Story goes on to say the church movements are typically focused on presenting the gospel in depth, building and promoting Christian community, and preparing their members to witness to their faith in the public square. New movements and associations are the young face of the church, and it's a fruit of the Second Vatican Council. So we go to Rome to talk about this with someone who is very involved. He's been with us before, Brother John Yep. He's studying for the priesthood in Rome, and he was with us during the conclave and during the election of Pope Francis, and he joins us now, and I guess he is right outside one of the four major basilicas, that being Mary Major, St. Mary Major. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Teresa? Good to talk to you again.
So you're excited about this weekend, I understand.
I am very excited. I'm listening to that. You mentioned the numbers about the exceeded expectations, and it's one more proof again that God is really one driving the church behind everything we're doing. He's the one who's got the plan, and he's raising up the new life.
Why are the ecclesial movements so important to you as someone studying for the priesthood?
Well, interesting enough, I mean, I myself am part of my own spiritual movement, the Redden Christi, and for me, it's a way that the Holy Spirit, who has the bird's eye vision of the church, He knows what's needed for each moment of the church. And after the Vatican Council is something that he raised up. I mean, a spiritual movement, to give you a quick analogy, skipping the canonical definition, with similar to if you compare the Catholic Church to our big extent. Well, an ecclesial movement is kind of like your immediate family, and it's something that just helps you and helps others to promote a different aspect of the mystery of Christ. So being part of one myself, it creates a sense of community, and also the sense that, you know, we have something that we need to bring to the rest of the church and be at their service. So it's an exciting weekend coming up.
Now, you mentioned it, you put together a great email that you sent out with some good questions if people aren't familiar with an ecclesial movement and what it is. You mentioned Opus Dei. You mentioned the Neocatechumens and the Focolare movement, which is very prominent and also very prominent in Italy. And so these groups are doing what? They really are putting themselves at the service of the church, but it is really about the Holy Spirit acting in their lives in a strong way, correct?
That's correct. And the way it's seen is, each movement has a different charism. Charism, in its most basic definition, means gift. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit meant to be given to others. And it's not like we're saying that they add anything new to the church, because Christ, when he came down 2,000 years ago, already brought everything, but it's merely that they accentuate, they highlight a different part of the mystery of our Lord, and they kind of bring that in their own particular way, their own personality, we could say, to the church, and to put it into apostolic action.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because I was speaking with Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. I'm sure you know him as a wonderful Catholic apologist and teacher and theologian.
Yes.
We were talking about this maybe lack of understanding on the majority of lay Catholics about the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Sometimes it kind of may freak us out, and we envision certain things that may not actually be accurate. How can we change the image that some people may have in their heads of this?
I think we need to see the Holy Spirit how Christ himself saw the Holy Spirit. I mean, I had the chance to be in the upper room about 3 weeks ago in Jerusalem. And when I was there, of course, that's the place where the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost. And I was sitting down and praying there in the upper room and watching the different people that came there and offered up their prayers. And at the same time, I imagine Jesus Christ there with his first apostles there in the upper room. And for Christ, the Holy Spirit was simply the spirit of his Father working, and the Spirit of God. And to see the different people that were there in the upper room coming through Jerusalem to pray, it reminded me that each person has a different way of expressing their love for God. We're not all the same. Each person is individual and has an infinite value. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God within us, and he sometimes gathers them together in their little spiritual families and says, and gives them kind of a personality and says, you know what, I want you to accentuate this part of Christ and show the church the beauty of this aspect. So that's kind of what I see the role of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. So describe for us, Brother John, what's going to happen in Rome this weekend. What will we see if we, let's say, tune into something online, tune into EWTN television, or go to one of the many Vatican websites? What will we see in terms of this Holy Spirit movement manifesting itself on Pentecost weekend?
From a very practical point of view first, one thing I've noticed after being in Rome for a few years now is the crowds, for some reason, are always much more polite, and there's not as much, you know, pushing and shoving and all that. So you already call the Holy Spirit the spirit of charity and unity as it will work. So that's the first thing I see among the crowds that show up for this weekend's activities. And on the spiritual side, of course, it kicks off with the vigil on Saturday night, and we'll have different speakers coming in. They actually have a choir comprised of 150 members of different ecclesial movements. And then the keynote, of course, is when Pope Francis will come and speak. And the one thing I like about it is the way he does it, he modeled this after Pope Benedict, is he opens himself up for spontaneous questions. Kind of like, hey, I'm your father, I'm here, ask me whatever you want. And so and then, of course, on Sunday, we'll culminate with the Mass.
Is there a particular event that you're looking most forward to?
Well, you know what? It's events, yes, of course, the vigil special and the Mass, and nothing outranks the Mass. But one of the things I like just doing is what I'm doing right now. I'm staying outside Mary Major Church, is one of the four basilicas of Rome. And there's a different air in the city when these pilgrims are in town. And it's fun just to see their excitement. I mean, the line is to visit the basilica right now in St. Peter's is about four times its normal size. But it's that excitement of knowing that we're all here for this event. We've come from all different parts of the world, and we're here to celebrate the reality of the ecclesial movements with Pope Francis.
How long have you been in Rome, Brother John? How long? I know you're studying for the priesthood, but how long have you been there?
This is my fourth year for studies. I'm just finishing my master's degree in philosophy.
And you'll be ordained, God willing.
I'm allowed to ask for prayers on the air. I have an exam on June 26th. So if I pass the exam, then I'll give the credit to all the listeners there for
being passed. No, that's not a problem. This is a pro-life prayer network, so you're fine with asking for prayers. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and chat more with Brother John Yep, who is live in Rome this morning as we enter into beautiful Pentecost weekend and this big, huge, beautiful crowd made up of the members of the ecclesial movements, but also pilgrims from around the world coming in for Pentecost weekend. We'll be right back on a Friday edition of Catholic Connection.
Wine guards, everything.
When you want something done right, you go to the experts. With power equipment, you want to go to the guys who know what they're talking about, not the ones wearing the aprons. The experts at Weingarts have you covered from sales to service with people that will help you pick the right equipment for the job and maintain it. Whether you're looking for mowers, tractors, chainsaws, blowers, or generators, Weingarts has a great selection to choose from. Their massive inventory includes all the top quality brands you know and some that you don't. And Weingarts provides world-class service and parts support to keep your equipment running at its best. From at-home delivery and demonstration to our 7-year enhanced protection plan, Weingarts delivers the kind of service you can't get anywhere else. When you're ready to talk to a real expert, stop by our locations in Utica, Farmington Hills, Cedar Springs, Clarkston, and our newest location in Ann Arbor.
Weingarts, everything from Rome to snow.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. This model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
Thank you.
talking about ecclesial movements in the church. What are they? What do they mean? We see this weekend, well, quite a few of them gathering in Rome, and they're expecting about 120,000 reps of these various movements around the Italy and around the country, around the U.S. and around the world. Brother John Yep is studying for the priesthood. He's joining us live. He's been with us many times before, added to our wonderful EWTN coverage on the election of Pope Francis. And he came to us many times, running down to the square and giving us his perspective of things. And again, now we're talking about, as we mentioned, coming up this weekend, Pentecost weekend, of course, the ecclesial movements. All right, so when we think of this, we might think that this is something that's parallel to, let's say, parish life. But this is something that the Pope, both Pope Benedict, now Emeritus Benedict XVI, and Pope Francis really want us to think about as something as part of parish life and not separate, correct?
It's exactly it. In fact, even going back to John Paul II in 1998, one of the things that he saw that you had the reality of these new movements coming up, and of course, they're the new kids on the block, and they make their fair share of mistakes, and they're just trying to learn their role and their place, and you know, and there's that perhaps confusion at first, like, okay, how do they fit in? I got my parish life here, and then I have the movements doing their thing over there. And what the popes have been trying to insist, and this is one of the reasons they brought them together, so the universal church could see them, to help everyone see that we're on the same team. We need to work together. There's plenty of work, and we each have our talents. And that's really the role of the movements, is to stir up new life within the parish structure. If they're outside the diocese or the individual parish, then they're not fulfilling their mission that the Holy Spirit's given them.
So what recommendations then would you have for someone who wants to look into this and wants to start something in their parish? Brother John, what do you think?
It's interesting that, we know the Holy Spirit has always spoken through authority, right? And that's one of the distinguishing marks with our Catholic faith, that we're directed, we receive light through the Pope, the Pope, the bishops, bishops to the parish priests. So in the end, God blesses our obedience. And whether you're part of Focolare, the Redeem Christi, or another apostolic movement, the best way you can serve is to really, you know, if you're at your parish, say, Father, what needs to be done? I have this special relationship with Christ. These are some ideas I think I may have and how I can help out. How do you see that we can help you and serve you? Because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of unity. And he's always bringing everyone back to the center, the focal points, which are the parishes and the diocese. So someone who has that experience of Christ in that particular way, which belongs to a movement, will, by nature, should go to his priest and say, how can we serve you in that sense? I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No, that does. So you are going to be in for the entire weekend in terms of attending the various events, because I know there's a number of them, as you said. If people wanted more information, where should they go to find out what's going on this weekend?
The new Catholic News Services will carry Zenith. EWTN, I'm sure, will have it and cover the events as well. It'll be in the news. And most importantly, it's a thing to pray and just open our minds more to see what is the church and realize that we have so many, there are many problems within the church or within the world, but that's not a cause for discouragement, but rather it's to step back and say, okay, God has a plan. God wants to help humanity, and how is he doing it? It's the famous story. I liken it to how there was a flood, and a man was caught on top of his house, and he was waiting for God to come down and do a miraculous miracle and rescue him from the house as the water was rising. And in the meantime, he had people passing by in boats saying, why don't you jump on? We'll save you, help you here. And he said, no, God's going to save me. God will take care of me in a miraculous way. And, of course, he ends up drowning, to make the story short, because, why? He missed the fact that God was acting in other ways. And we have to be attentive to those ways that he's working. That's what Cardinal Ratzinger really wanted to stress, and it was that let's open our eyes to the reality of how God is working in the church.
And there are a lot of other young people like you are involved in these ecclesial movements, correct?
Correct. There are. They're young and old. I guess it depends how we define old. And It's not so much measured in years, but in spirit, right? John Paul II was young till the day he died. And young meaning full of life and full of enthusiasm. Enthusiasm means, really, God is in you. And someone who's filled with the Spirit is someone who has got an optimism about him. Not naive. He's optimistic because he's ready to work.
Brother John, thanks so much. Really appreciate your enthusiasm and your efforts to get on with us live again, and appreciate your perspective, especially being a young seminarian in Rome. Pretty exciting that you can be there and for all these events while you're studying for the priesthood. So be safe. Pray for us this weekend. And, of course, we'll catch up with you soon. And God willing, hopefully I'll see you in Rome in a few weeks. God bless you. Brother John Yep, of course, studying in Rome for the priesthood, and told me during the break that he's actually going to be ordained in a few years, but it'll be a year before he knows it, 2016. He's been in Rome for 4 years studying, a few more years to go, and then, God willing, ordination in 2016 for him. Talking about, of course, Pentecost weekend around the world, but in Rome, so many different activities, especially with the ecclesial movements. Again, if you'd like more information, you can go to EWTNnews.com, which is a beautiful summary on what Archbishop Fisichella is saying. Of course, he's with the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of New Evangelization, about the numbers that they're going to be getting this weekend. Much, much bigger the number than they expected. They expected about, 70,000. Well, more than 50,000 additional people are registering for the various events. So pretty exciting, all of this, of course, going on during the Year of Faith. We are going to wrap up this segment, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about how do we manifest more of the Spirit in our lives with Dan Burke, who brings us every Friday at this time our Spiritual Direction Connection. Stay tuned.
In every generation, Lincoln has given us something to dream about. It's been the car of presidents, the height of elegance, the object of our aspirations. Today is no different. Come into Cessy to see what Lincoln has dreamed up for this generation. Vehicles that represent the best modern technology has to offer, with a certain flair, style, grace, and beauty that has always made Lincoln different. The new Lincoln Collection represents some of the most exciting luxury performance vehicles in a generation. Crafted with excellence in the spirit of originality that has defined America from the very beginning. At Cessy Lincoln, we have been proudly serving the Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti communities since 1946. We believe the time has come to once again expect more, to embrace the new and different, to be original. Cessy Lincoln, 3990 Jackson Road, Ann Arbor.
For 800 years, the Alexian brothers have served the sick, not as priests, but as Catholic brothers.
We're brothers because this is the life that God called us to.
In the struggle with alcohol or drugs or AIDS, the Alexian brothers are there.
We're looking for men who have the courage to live in vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. If a man is convinced that God has called him, then we have a spot for him.
If you feel a call to brother the world with the Alexians, call toll-free 1-800-556-0332.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Very fitting as we move into Holy Spirit or Pentecost weekend in the Catholic Church that we are talking about how the Spirit moves us. Of course, appreciate Brother John joining us from Rome, right outside of St. Mary Major Church, which is one of the four major basilicas. If you ever get to Rome, it's a must-do on your list. It's absolutely a stunning, stunning church. And speaking of spiritual direction and the Holy Spirit, our friend Dan Burke from the National Catholic Register, EWTN, and the book Navigating the Interior Life, as well as his beautiful website in spiritual direction, which we will give you, of course, before we wrap up. Dan joins us every Friday to talk about the spiritual direction connection because that's his area of expertise. And boy, what a fitting time to talk about spiritual direction in light of this weekend. Good morning, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
I'm really excited about Pentecost. It's one of my favorite feasts are celebrations of the Church, where we get to focus on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful time, isn't it?
Yep. It really is. Now, we wanted to talk this morning about the spirituality in the church. How do we find our spirituality in the church? What does that mean?
Well, and, you know, I was going to ask you a question. So the topic is, how do we come to know how the Holy Spirit's moving in our life, where what the Lord is asking of us in and through particular spiritualities in the church? How, you know, are there any spiritual writers for you, Teresa, that really move your heart no matter how often you read them?
Well, I'd say the top of the list, a current one, would be Benedict the 16th. Francis, his writing and speaking is, I think, amazing, very down to earth. I also think John Paul II, but going back a little bit, it would have to be St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, those just to name a few.
Well, so you have a real eclectic reading that interests you. For me, the spirituality that most animates my own interest is Carmelite spirituality. And so through St. Teresa of Avila, St. Elizabeth of the Trinity, St. John of the Cross, I get most of my spiritual sustenance. And so there are some people in the church like you who are eclectic and find grace and blessing wherever you read. But there's a lot of us who, until we find that one specific spirituality, whether it be Dominican or Franciscan, you mentioned Catherine of Siena, who's Dominican, of course.
Dominican, right.
And, Pope Francis is Ignatian, but obviously has an affinity for an aspect of Franciscan spirituality. But a lot of us need to find that vein, almost, if you will, like a gold vein, or that vein of spiritual thought that really speaks to our soul. And the only way to find out where that is to engage in spiritual reading. I imagine from just the list you mentioned, you spend quite a bit of time every week digging through the homilies of Pope Francis or looking back on the writings of Pope Emeritus Benedict. Is that right?
That's it. Yep. And then I also have the opportunity, because I, as a talk show host, of course, many of the publishers send us books for review before we do the interviews. And so I get a lot of the great books that are published, for example, by Ignatius Press or by Servant or Word Among Us or whomever. And especially with Benedict, because Ignatius is doing all of his work. One of the books I'm looking at now is his Book of Prayer that just came out, that Ignatius just did. So, yeah, I do that. I read go through the books. I don't always read every book cover to cover, but I'm really big, and I tell my listeners this all the time, and I think you know this because we've discussed this before, to go online and to look at, you know, EWTNnews.com or Vatican.va, Radio Vaticana, because what they do is they give us the writings, not only of Benedict and Francis, but of, for example, which would be very Franciscan, Cantalamessa, who's the preacher of the papal household. Or there's reflections on those websites from the saints. And so, to me, because we have such a variety of sources, that's why I take little bits and pieces from everywhere.
Exactly. And when you take those little bits and pieces, what often you'll find is that there will be that you'll find that vein in a particular spirituality that will feed you. And then to enter more deeply into that, you pick up the saints who they're reflecting on. If it's a modern speaker, Father Cantalamessa, of course, is Franciscan, but he's Capuchin, and he draws, of course, from that spirituality. But when you find that vein, usually you know it hits you because, like me, I was feeling a bit spiritually dry, and I was thinking, well, how do I get a little energy, like a Red Bull for the soul? And so I picked up, I remembered that St. Teresa always encourages me. So I just grabbed just anything I could find around my nightstand from St. Teresa and began to read. And, of course, again, every word, or at least the majority of what she had written there, nourished my soul. And when you find that saint that moves you that way, my recommendation is to dig in, to get your hands on just about anything they've written and keep reading down that vein until you've exhausted it. Now, you may move on, like Teresa, onto different spiritualities. And I, as well, for me, Carmelite spirituality is the home base, and then I venture out to Catherine of Siena and other writers that interest me, depending on the topic. But when you dig into that vein, usually you'll find a place where you can rest and where you get the most nourishment, nourishment on a regular basis for your faith.
I do think that you mentioned that my reading is eclectic, which is very true. However, in thinking about this and listening to you and kind of praying about what you're saying as we're speaking, I'm thinking also that there's a recurrent theme in the writers that I do choose. For example, if you look at Teresa of Avila, Benedict, Augustine, say Catherine of Siena, they're brilliant writers, but at the same time, they all do a great job of connecting the dots between faith and reality. And I'm big on that. I'm big on helping people see how God is revealed in the natural world. I do that a lot, for example, in my talks that I give. I try to see people, to help people see that truth is always revealed in the natural law. And all of those writers and saints and current teachers, such as Benedict that I mentioned, they all do such a good job at that. So I'm drawn toward, I'm just wondering if that's why I'm drawn to all these different people.
So you're drawn to a more practical spirituality. What you're looking for is how does this idea or this writing or this this topic help me to engage my faith in the culture I live in?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean, that makes sense, too. So that's cutting across all different spiritualities, but definitely a theme that God uses to nourish your soul. And as you say, much because of your calling and what you do, the gifts that you give us through your work in Catholic media.
I think, you know, I have a friend of mine, Father John McCardle. You may know him from the work he does through Ave Maria Radio, and some of his shows are aired on the radio and on our, some of our affiliates on EWTN. But he says he's Catholic because he's selfish. He wants it all. And I kind of have that same attitude. If you think about all the different teachers that we have in the saints, some of whom you've pointed out this morning, and the sacraments and all the history. So it's just, I want a little bit of everything because there's so much to draw from.
Well, and what amazing about the Catholic Church is that there's endless wells of spiritual depth all around us, and you could pick any one of the spiritualities, whether Salesian or Carthusian or Ignatian or the others we've mentioned this morning. You can dig in and you'll have a work for the rest of your life, insights for the rest of your life.
Thanks, Dan. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Appreciate your work. You can find Dan at NavigatingTheInteriorLife.com, and we'll talk to you folks on a Monday. Have a blessed weekend.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection as Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
This program is brought to you in part by the generous support of Siena Communications. Siena introduces a plan to give you a mobile phone with no contract required. There are no hidden fees, and with Siena, using your mobile phone helps the culture of life in America with no additional cost or effort from you. Everyday mobile phone living becomes effortless giving. More information can be found at ProLifeCatholic.com. That's ProLifeCatholic.com. Charity begins at phone.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by a day sponsor. To announce the Mother and Unborn Baby Care Dinner on Thursday, May 30th, entitled Defending Life in a Post-Christian World. The dinner is at Farmington Hills Manor. For information, call 248-202-4903 or go to maubc.org. If you have a message you want to share, be a day sponsor at 877-288-1077.
Ave mus papam.
When the new Holy Father was announced, Ave Maria Radio had it live.
Jorge Bergoglio is our new Holy Father. He's the Archbishop of Buenos Aires in Argentina, and he's a Jesuit, and he has taken the name Francis.
For the things that matter most, keep it tuned to Ave Maria Radio.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by Catholic Business Pages.